Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3, the game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live, live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios. I mean, you turn on the TV. The winners of free agency are the Predators. Cool. I'm not knocking it, but the idea, you know, somebody told me today, it was like, we are the toast of the NHL, Jared. I'm like, yeah, but what does that do for you on July 2nd? You know, what does that, you know, let's be the toast of the NHL next June. That'll be when I get excited. But it is what it is. And the one thing I've always said is, hey, when it comes to free agency, every time you sign a guy, well, you know when they show the draft room on NFL draft night and they show the draft room after, oh, yeah, the Cowboys just made their bet. There's Jerry and they're all clapping and they're all shaking hands and they're all, we have no idea if that guy's going to be any good or not. Let's clap in 3 years when he's Micah Parsons. And so the Predators made the two big sexy moves. If you read Pierre LeBrun's piece in The Athletic, clearly Brady Shea was the biggest one to bury, but they made the two big sexy moves. Marchessault is a former Conn Smythe. He's a former All-Star, scored 42 goals last year from Vegas. And, of course, Steven Stamkos, who, when we look back on this era of the NHL, between Taves and Kane and Crosby and Malkin and Ovechkin, and we will remember Steven Stamkos. He is a generational talent. And so those are the two big names. They signed them. And everybody in town, yes, 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 yes. And I have to look at the other side of this. Even though I am in favor of both signings, and I'm not walking away from that, there is another side of this. And that is that two organizations, Tampa and Vegas, walked away from very good players. And those are good organizations. We're not talking about the Anaheim Ducks right now. We're not talking about an organization that can never, ever, ever, ever get it right. Talking about Tampa, who's won two cups in the last 5 years. We're talking about Vegas, who won it 2 years ago, and every year, it feels like Vegas is on the cutting edge of player acquisition. I mean, how many times are we told they have no more picks and no more cap space, and then all of a sudden, here comes Vegas at the deadline, and they're adding Noah Hanifin, or they're adding Jack Eichel, or they're adding Mark Stone, or, you know what I mean? But in each case, those teams explain their reasoning differently. So let's start with Tampa Bay and Steven Stamkos. This is Julien Brisebois, the general manager at Tampa Bay, who, as soon as he got to the podium, knew he was going to have to deal with an upset fan base and address Steven Stamkos right off the bat.
I'd like to start off by stating the obvious. I know that it is disappointing that I was not able to come to terms with Steven Stamkos on a contract to keep him within the organization. I know the fans are disappointed. I know Steven's disappointed, and I'm disappointed. Like everyone, I wanted Stammer to stay in Tampa and finish his career with the Lightning. But like for every player, there were also limits I felt like we could allocate in terms of cap space to him. And Stammer is sincere in all of his statements saying that he wanted to stay in Tampa. That shouldn't be questioned. He definitely wanted to stay in Tampa. But at the same time, it was clear throughout our process that he also had financial expectations that he expected us to meet. And ultimately, I felt and made the decision that if I agreed to the terms that he wanted in order to get a deal done, I would not be putting ourselves in the best position to chase championships going forward. And ultimately, we need to make decisions that are in the best interest of the team's success.
Julien Brisebois is saying, I just don't think that we can give Stamkos the money that he wanted. Stamkos made $8.5 million in Tampa. You're giving him $8 million. You pretty much are giving him the money he wants. So what Brisebois is saying, hey, I can't build a championship team doing that. You're saying I can. Then there's Marchessault. Kelly McCrimmons is the general manager in Vegas. I did get a nice little chuckle, and I put this on Twitter today. As I watched the Vegas press conference on YouTube this morning, all the comments on the side said, fire Kelly, fire him. We need to get him out of here. We need to. They won the cup 2 years ago, but again, you know, whatever. This is what Kelly McCrimmons said about why they did not retain Jonathan Marchessault.
When the season ended, the only free agent that we continued to negotiate with was with Jonathan Marchessault. With Marshy, we spoke to Marshy before the season began. We spoke to Marshy at the All-Star break. And when I say to Marshy, some of those conversations would be with his representatives. And then following the season, we had a number of meetings with his agent, Pat Brisson. We had numerous calls. We met in person twice at Buffalo at the NHL Combine. We met in person at the draft here on two occasions. And on Thursday, the day before the NHL draft, we felt that we had a pathway to get a deal done. I felt both parties were on the way to finishing to completing a deal. The next day, just prior to the draft, things really changed. And in the case of Marshy, it was really important for him to get the term of 5 years. That wasn't something that we were comfortable with. And quite frankly, the data doesn't support, you know, he's gonna be 38 years old in that final season. And you know, maybe Marshy can, because he's proved people wrong his whole career, but it wasn't a position that we were comfortable with, the 5 year term.
Okay, in both cases, they say, we just couldn't do it. In the case of Tampa Bay, they're saying, Julien Brisebois, look, I could have done it, but I don't think that if I had given him the contract that we would have been able to compete for championships. In the case of Vegas, they said, we wanted him. We thought we were going to get a deal done. Then all of a sudden, he starts talking 5 years, and we love him, but we don't think he'll be good enough in 5 years. And I think the thing that Kelly McCrimmon said that stood out to me was, the data doesn't support it. Nerds. The data does not support us giving a fifth year to Jonathan Marchessault. So in Tampa, they're saying we can't build a cup contender with Steven Stamkos making $8 million. In Vegas, they're saying we can't bet on Jonathan Marchessault 5 years down the road. In Nashville, Barry Trotz is saying, I think I can. This is binary. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. And I don't know who's right, who's wrong. I can't tell you. I am not a psychic, right? I am not a fortune teller. I cannot sit there and tell you, yeah, 5 years from now, 38 years old, Jonathan Marchessault is going to be on the second line and is going to pop in 33 goals and still be a first-unit power player. Now, I do think that they're kind of somewhat different circumstances from the standpoint that in Vegas, they were super capped out and they wanted to re-sign Marchessault. And they, you know, as soon as he asked for 5 years, it was like, no, 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 he'd be too old for that. In the case of Tampa, I think it's a little different, that they wanted to give Stamkos a real deal, or they wanted to give Stamkos a very team-friendly deal. Stamkos wanted a fair deal, and they decided to go in the direction of Jake Guentzel, which I'm not totally sold on was the right idea. I almost wonder if in the case of Julien Brisebois in Tampa, if he basically wanted it, my team, my guy. Remember, Steve Yzerman's the one that put together the team that won the Cups. So I wonder if getting rid of Mikhail Sergachev, getting rid of Steven Stamkos, bringing in Jake Guentzel, I wonder if that's like his way. My team, my guys, I know, I. But again, in both instances, cup-winning general managers, albeit in the case of Brisebois, he was an assistant general manager when they really built the team that won the Cups in Tampa, but cup-winning general managers are saying, we can't build a contender giving those guys those contracts. And in Barry Trotz's case, who is still a relatively young general manager, he's saying, I can. Somebody's right, somebody's wrong. this is sports we're talking about. Most of the time, guys do not age well into 38 and 37 and 36. Tom Brady is the exception. He is not the rule. So it is a big risk Barry Trotz took. And when I think about the risk that Barry Trotz took and going for Stamkos, who's still a 40-goal scorer at this point in his career, I think to myself, if this fails, will Barry Trotz be able to survive it? In the case of Julian Brisebois in Tampa, I'm not sure if he's wrong. I'm not sure he can. If Steven Stamkos is putting the cup over his head next June, I think he may get fired over that. But it is fascinating to me that, like with Legarius Sneed, I mean, the Titans are taking the risk that no, the knees will be fine. And we don't know if they will be or they won't be. Stamkos scored 40 goals last year. That doesn't mean that Stamkos will score 40 goals next year. It doesn't mean that he'll score 40 goals the year after that. Legarius Sneed was saying, hey, go check the tape. Go check the film. Go look at it. You'll see my knees are fine. It's like, dude, that doesn't matter. We're worried about what's going to happen. And in the case of Tampa and in the case of Vegas with both guys, they said, we can't. We're not investing going forward. We don't believe going forward. And your general manager said, I do believe. Somebody's right. Somebody's wrong. Whoever's right is probably going to build a cup contender. Who's ever wrong might be getting fired. And I can't tell you which one's right today. 615-737-1025. Let's get some phones on this. 615-737-1025. Plus, The Athletic has their analytics of these deals. You know, was it an overpay? Did you get a good deal? What did you... You know, what did The Athletic say about the value of the contracts? We'll get to that coming up next here on our program. First, though, let me tell you about Window Nation. That's right. I love Window Nation. That is a reputable company, and that is a company that takes good care of its customers. And I know, because I had Window Nation out to my home, and they gave me the entire spiel. They showed me the most energy-efficient windows you can buy on the market. And I said, okay, which ones do I need to replace? They said, actually, your windows are good. You do not need to replace your windows. I said, you got to be kidding me. They said, nope, you do not need to replace them. I said, I'll be darned. And that's how I knew they were a reputable company. Right now, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free. Plus, zero down and no interest or payments for 2 years. If it's hot and your inefficient windows are forcing you to jack up the AC, that's not a good thing. So again, for every two windows you'll buy, you'll get two windows free, zero down, no interest, no payments for 2 years. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com to schedule an in-home estimate today. That's 866-90-NATION, windownation.com.
Elias Lindholm at 7x8, or 7x just under 8, or
yep.
Or Steven Stamkos at 4x8.
Ooh, Stamkos.
Yeah, I would take Stamkos. There hasn't been really any drop-off in his productivity. Look at his numbers from last year. He's still playing really well. I know the age is up there, but I would take Steven Stamkos.
Elias Lindholm is a better bet.
Because of age.
Age, for one. He's 29. Stamkos is 34. And he's probably better all three zones than Stamkos. Although Stamkos, when he applies himself, I don't think is any slouch in his own end. Lindholm's a better face-off guy. Better in his own end. Younger, okay, a lot more runway with Elias Lindholm than Steven Stamkos. Steven Stamkos would have been fun.
Oh great.
Yeah. Stamkos more fun. And he still scored 40 goals last year, for Pete's sake. So it's not like he's, you know, completely yesterday's news. On the back nine, certainly. But that would have given you a little bit of bump there. That would have given you a pop, Steven Stamkos. I'm not telling you they should have done it or not. Let's just face facts. Oh.
That was the Felger and Mazz program in Boston. I mean, I was just listening to their kind of breakdown of the Bruins yesterday, and all of a sudden it was Elias Lindholm at 7 years or Steven Stamkos at 4. And they said, you know, man, maybe Lindholm, Stamkos is like, well, Stamkos would have been fun. By the way, let me pose this question to you, Ian.
Okay.
The Predators, I think we can agree, and Barry Trotz said this in the Athletic article he did with Pierre LeBrun today, that he was in on Chandler Stephenson and Monahan and Elias Lindholm. And I think that Barry was trying to add a forward and a center and Brady Shea. And that when he realized that the centers, Lindholm and Stevenson, were all going for 7 years, it was like, yeah, I'll go with Marcio for five. But Stamkos for four or Elias Lindholm for seven, who would you rather have on the Predators?
Stamkos.
Me too. And I love Elias Lindholm. I actually didn't even think Elias Lindholm was that good in the playoff series, even though he had a game-winning goal in game four. But I am a huge, I have loved Elias Lindholm since he was on the Flames. I love Elias Lindholm. And so I'd still rather go with Stamkos. So the Athletic gave out their grades, and I don't, you know, who gives a rat's ass what the Athletic says grades-wise? A plus, B plus, who cares? But what I thought was interesting was the Athletic analytics for the AAVs of the deal. So the expectation of what the value of the player will be. In the case of Steven Stamkos, the Athletic has an AAV of $7.2 million a year as opposed to the $8 million that he signed for. So what the Athletic is saying is the Predators overpaid by $800,000 a year. Now, they do give an A to the Predators for their fit of what Stamkos means for the team, but whatever. Then there's Brady Shea. For Brady Shea, they have a $6.2 million a year value. And again, Brady Shea signed for $7 million. So that's a difference, like Stamkos, of $800,000. Jonathan Marchessault is actually an underpay of $200,000 a year. They think he's worth, I think it's they think he's worth $5.7 million, and he ends up getting $5.5 million. So that equals equals $1 million over the 5 years that he's on the deal. Basically, the Athletic is saying the Predators overpaid $800,000 a year for Stamkos, $800,000 a year for Shea, and underpaid by $200,000 for Marchessault. Add up the totality of the deals, right? So it's $800,000 a year on Stamkos, which means what? $3.2 million?
Mm-hmm.
So $3.2 million of an overpay for the whole deal of Stamkos, $5.6 million of an overpay for the whole deal of Brady Shea, and a $1 million surplus on Jonathan Marchessault. So of the three deals, the Athletic says that you overpaid $7.8 million over 7 years, or basically $1.12 million a year.
Pretty much.
You overpaid $1 million. I mean, I'll take that every day of the week. What the hell are we? I mean, $1 million overpay? I mean, right now, Cody Glass is making $2.5 million. That's an overpay. Like, that's the kind of stuff that pisses me off. $1 million extra? I mean, you're probably overpaying Philip Forsberg for what he's giving you right now. But I'm okay with it because he's scoring 40 goals. I mean, I don't know how well Roman Josi is aging into the contract. You know, for defensemen, I think it's kind of hard to value because defensemen need to play defense, but they're all valued by who scores the most points. So Josi would probably be an underpay given how offensive he is. But I'm sure there's a little overpay, underpay, $1 million here. But who cares? You spent $100 million yesterday, and you're telling me that of that, I've overspent by $7 million? Who cares? That's what free agency is, always an overpay. That's why teams really don't want to get into free agency. In all sports, you make your money when the guys are on their rookie contracts. In baseball, and I think they've changed this to 4 years from 6 years of the last CBA, or at least they tried to, baseball, you got a guy for 6 years before he's allowed to cash in. But once he cashes in, he ain't playing for free. You know, now it's like, okay, yeah, now we owe the guy $34 million a year. Can't pay that guy. I can live with $1 million a year on these three guys for the next 7 years of overpaying them. You can live with that. I mean, I think if you went to Barry Trotz and you said, again, talking about looking into the future, a fortune teller, went up to Barry and said, Barry, these are some good contracts you signed, but you're going to overpay by $1 million, but you're going to get the three guys and they're going to be healthy, Barry would take it. Here's what you can't have. What you can't have is what you had with Matt Duchene, Ryan Johansson, and Kyle Turris. Kyle Turris is no longer in the NHL. Nobody wanted Kyle Turris. I think he went to Edmonton for 5 minutes after you cut him. Kyle Turris was worthless when he was here, and he was worthless the day he left. That is an overpay of $6 million because he gave you nothing. I mean, literally gave you nothing. That's for 1 year. We're talking about these analytics saying that the Predators overpaid over the course of all the contracts over the 7 years. For 1 year of Kyle Turris, and they'll be paying Kyle Turris. I think they're paying Kyle Turris for like 15 years because they bought him out. But I mean, every year that's an overpay. You can't have that. Matt Duchene just signed a contract extension with Dallas. After you dumped him last year, he signed for 1 year and $3 million. His new contract with Dallas, I believe, is a three-year deal at $3 million a year. So he's a $3 million a year player. Why? Because that's what he's valued at. That's his value to the Dallas Stars is $3 million. You were paying him $8 million. So every year, you were overpaying Matt Duchene by $5 million. Ryan Johansson, for 8 years, made $8 million. And when you finally got rid of him, you had to take on the $4 million. Colorado took on the $4 million. And they couldn't even make it through half a season before they were like, we got to get this guy out of here. And nobody in the league wants Ryan Johansson. So in the case of Duchene, Johansson, and Turris, the Predators overpaid $6 million for 6 years on Turris. That's $36 million in wasted money. On Duchene, again, he's a $3 million a year player, and you paid him $8 million. So that's $5 million for 7 years. So that's $35 million in wasted money. And I don't really know how to calculate Johansson's wasted money other than to say that for the last handful of years, really the deal kicked in the 2017-18 season. And by the 19-20 season, Johansson was done. And that was $8 million a year. So let's just be conservative and let's say that that's 3 years. Add on the extra two, so that's five. So that's $40 million in wasted money. So amongst the three guys, Turris, Johansson, and Duchene, the Predators essentially wasted, by my count, $111 million. That is what you can't have. You waste $7 million. And again, there's no telling whether or not the Athletics numbers are right or wrong. You know, it's just their data analytics, however they come up with it. I don't know. You know, the data and analytics that Vegas had, that Kelly McCrimmon said, didn't add up to wanting Jonathan Marchessault in year five. But I can live with overpaying $7 million over 7 years. What I can't live with is overpaying $111 million since the day the Predators acquired Kyle Turris, which was what? 2017? So 7 years. Again, that's great. 7 years. 7 years, and they've wasted $111 million. On Duchene, Turris, and Johansson. That's what can't happen. And the one thing I will say, now look, I do not expect Marchessault to be a $5 million player when he's 36, which would be year three of this deal. But I also don't expect him to be worthless, which is what those guys were in those deals. And if these guys are worthless and the Predators can't do anything about it and they're stuck in the same albatross that they were because of Johansson and Duchene in the past, well, then that's probably going to get Barry Trotz into some hot water. So, again, when you look at these analytics and you say, okay, what do the numbers say, how good these guys are, what it's telling you is it's saying, yeah, these guys might be a little bit of an overpay. Well, that's free agency. That's the cost of doing business. I mean, Lloyd Cushenberry's probably an overpay for the Titans, but if the guy can snap the ball, I'm fine with it. What I'm not okay with is a $111 million overpay. That I'm not okay with. Somebody says, it seems like the really bad value was every penny the Predators paid David Poile over his last 5 years. You know, I don't want to crap on David Poile today, but I do think that when we talk about how Tampa Bay, Julien Brisebois said, I don't think I can build a championship-caliber team with Steven Stamkos making this kind of money, and Barry Trotz is arguing otherwise. And Kelly McCrimmons did say, we cannot give Jonathan Marchessault a five-year contract. And Barry Trotz said, I can do that. Like I said, somebody's right, somebody's wrong. Barry Trotz might be wrong. But if he is wrong, you know, then we'll have problems the same way that when David Poile was constantly trying to, you know, justify, like I think he was trying to fill needs with guys that really weren't what he was looking for. And he talked himself into it. And I think ultimately that's what doomed the franchise for the last 5 years up until yesterday. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get to some phones. 615-737-1025. Plus, I asked Andrew Burnett. I said, yesterday I asked him on the show, I said, we can do the power play. He's supposedly the power play guru. He's got 340 goal scorers. He's got Philip Forsberg, who's another one of those 40 goal scorers. He's got Roman Josi, who might be the best offensive defenseman in the NHL. And he's got Ryan O'Reilly, who is a proven bona fide top line NHL player. You going to load it up or are you going to spread the wealth? What he had to say, we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025-1063 The Game. And let me tell all the fine folks out there here on our program to join us Thursday on July 4th at the 18th annual Music City Hot Chicken Festival at East Park. It's a spectacular day packed with live music, contests, and of course, hot chicken. It's free, so bring the whole family and discover more at hotchickenfestival.com. Philosophically speaking, are you more of a loaded up on the first unit, or are you going to want to spread it out between the two?
Well, I think I've done it both ways. I think, you know, to start, I think you'd like to load it up and just see how they feel with each other. Do we have the rhythm and the cadence necessary to be successful? Are they comfortable in different spots in the power play? So I think it's going to, you know, you're asking some guys to be a little bit uncharacteristic, you know, obviously with O'Reilly, can he play net front? He's played in the bumper his whole basically career. Can we move him there? Can we move Phil to net front? Can we move Phil to the bumper? Can we keep Phil where he is? Same with Marchessault. So I think we're pretty confident where Stamkos is going to sit and where Josi sit. But I think it's very similar to you're talking about who they play with and how they play. It'll work itself out. You know, I've been around enough really good players and great players. They usually figure it out. So let's just see where they're at. And if not, you know, we've got Tommy Novak. We've got Evangelista. We got Gus Nyquist. I mean, that if they're on the other power play, if they're split up, I mean, those are unbelievable options too.
So that was Andrew Burnett yesterday on the program. And I said, okay, you're the power play guru, which is his thing, right? They hired him, and Dan Lambert, who was their power play specialist, had to go because Barry Trotz is a good man, but Andrew Burnett's power play coach. And now he's got 340 goal scorers, Ryan O'Reilly and Roman Josi. And I said, okay, what's your philosophy? Because I knew if I asked, so are you going to run them all out on the first unit or are you going to try to spread out the wealth? He said, well, you know, we've got a lot to work through. And, you know, when we get back to training camp, we'll be focused. I didn't want that. So I said, what's your philosophy? Is your philosophy load them all up? Or is your philosophy say, hey, let's put Gus Nyquist on the first unit along with Forsberg, O'Reilly, and Stamkos and Josi, and let's put Marchessault on the second unit? Or is your philosophy, you know, hey, let's just roll it and see what happens? And I was listening to Robbie and Adam today, and they were talking about how you put all five guys out there and you do what Edmonton does, where Edmonton leaves McDavid and Draisaitl on the ice for all 2 minutes. I don't think you can really do that. I think it's a good idea, but I don't think you can necessarily do that, at least in the regular season. Now in the playoffs, maybe it's a little different. But if I get a vote in this, I say load it up. I say load up the power play. And here's why. Because at the end of the day, when I look at what you had last year, Steven Stamkos had 19 goals on the power play. 19. That is like Matt Duchene for an entire season. And that's what he had on the power play. Jonathan Marchessault had 9 assists last year on the power play, but for his career, he is mostly a double-digit assist guy, again, on the power play every single year. He also had 9 goals last season. Tampa had the number one power play in the NHL at 28.6%. How much of that's because of Stamkos's 19 goals? So when I was thinking about the rest of the league, and I'm like, you've got the power play guru coach. You've got 340 goal scorers, one of whom's number one attribute is that shot from the half wall, which, again, you heard in the cut right there where Andrew Burnett's like, we know where Stamkos is going. That's like bringing in Ovechkin. We know where Ovechkin's going. He's going to sit right there on that half wall, and he's going to fire it right into the net. And the question is, can Yossi get it to him? Can O'Reilly get it to him? Can Forsberg get it to him to where the goalie can't get there quick enough? That puck's already in the back of the net. I say load it up. I say load it up. And in the playoffs, try to leave them out there for 2 minutes. Now, here's why Edmonton can leave their power play out on the ice for all 2 minutes. And it's because the other team never clears the puck. So when Edmonton has the puck in the offensive zone for all 2 minutes, yeah, there's some moving around, but there's not a lot of up and down skating. You do what the Predators did last year, especially in the Vancouver series, where it was like, okay, we're going to go out there for the power play and we lose the draw and they kick it back. And then all of a sudden, you know, Zadorov clears it. So now, all right, everybody go. Now let's reset. Let's bring it into the zone. And now Yossi's got it and he sends it over to Forsberg and Forsberg's looking at it and he sends it back and then they get a stick on it. They send it back. Okay. Now, because you've gone up and down the ice twice in 35 seconds. Okay. Now get the second unit out there. And then we got a stoppage. Now you got to win the draw with the second. Edmonton just has the puck in the zone the entire time. That's all they do. And I wonder with this group, and this is where not watching, you know, Vegas play every night, so not watching Jonathan Marchessault specifically on the power play, this is where I do wonder, you know, can you be as elite as the best power plays in the league? Because in order to keep those guys out there as long as you want, you have to keep possession of the puck in the offensive zone. Can you do that? But as far as power play percentages, Tampa Bay number one in the NHL last year at 28.6. That, I assume, has to go down because Steven Stamkos is no longer on their team. Carolina was number two at 26.9. Now, what do we know about Carolina and what they added or didn't? They lost Gensel,
mm-hmm.
and they lost Teravainen, right?
Correct.
And he was a power player for them, I assume.
I don't know if he was on the first one. Probably, though.
And then I would assume Brady Shea was on their power play?
I think Brent Burns is their power play one defenseman.
God, I love Brent Burns. That guy never gets too old. So Carolina, you know, kind of a question mark there. They still have Aho, who is, you know, the driving force behind that. The Rangers were third at 26.4. I expect their power play to still be good. Edmonton, although, you know, as we learned with Laviolette, 1 year the power play can be good, the next year it can be absolute dog crap. Edmonton is fourth at 26.3. I think they actually have the best power play in the NHL, and I would expect that Edmonton's power play would still be better than yours. And then Dallas and Toronto kind of round out that top group. I expect you to have the third, maybe the second or third best power play in the league. Edmonton's power play, again, those guys are in their 20s, and it is, you know, Bouchard, Hyman, McDavid, Dreisaitl, and who's the fifth guy I'm thinking of here? Nugent Hopkins. I would take that one over you. Florida, obviously with Tkachuk and Barkov and that group, probably right there with you. But I'm not so sure that everybody else I would count as that much better than your power play. And I am expecting, so here's what I'm going to be fair. Top five. That, I think, is fair to ask from the coach who is the guru coach on the power play. Ian is a top five power play. Is that a fair expectation to have?
I guess so. Given the talent, sure. I mean, it's a bit high, you know, top five. It's hard to expect top five with anything, given it's never happened before, or, you know, at least not with this group. So it'd be high expectation, but, I mean, they have the skill to do it.
This group ain't this group.
Yeah.
You know, this group, I mean, again, Tampa had the number one power play last year. So when we're talking about this group, like, I know what you're saying. The Predators have never had a top five power play, so what's to think that it's going to be? But again, Tampa had the number one power play, and it's because they had the weapon in Stamkos. Well, now that's your weapon. And I know Hedman's really good, but he can't be that much better than Josi as far as delivering the puck to Stamkos. I mean, I got to believe that Josi's good enough. He's one of the best defensemen in the league. If not, quite frankly, I think that Josi's probably the second best defenseman in the league. That Cale Makar's number one, and Josi's probably number two. So he should be able to get him that puck. And then, you know, we talk about this in football all the time. I expect Philip Forsberg to feast, given the fact that when we talk now about the Predators right now, everybody's talking about Stamkos and Marchessault as kind of the big names, especially Stamkos on the power play. And I expect Philip Forsberg to take advantage of the fact that he's not the only guy in the lineup now that you have to pitch around. So I'm thinking top five's fair. In fact, I feel much better about top five. Andrew says in the YouTube chat, who is Barry Trotz trading to create cap space? Fabro or Glass? That would create $5 million in cap space. The question has to be, how much does the cap space matter to you? So, for instance, they need to get at least some cap space. Like, you can't go into the year over the cap. Like, you can't go into the season. And this is not football where you can, again, call up Josi or Forsberg and have them redo their contract and all of a sudden, oh, look, $18 million in cap space. But you really probably only just need to be under the cap. Because if you need to make an addition, what you can do, let's say you want to make an addition at the trade deadline, you can use some of your draft capital in order to get the other teams to take on the money or to retain the salary or whatever, or to take back somebody that, you know, has some money that you don't want. So I wouldn't clear the deck of Fabro today, but I would clear the deck of Cody Glass, get under the cap, and then move on with my life, because if I'm making an addition in the middle of the year because I think I've got a cup contender and I'm trying to add, my gut would tell me is somebody can be, if Colorado can make the moves that they made last year, where they got rid of Johansson and they added Mittelstadt and they added Walker, if they can do that, you can do it too. If Vegas can add at the deadline every year the way Vegas adds, last year it was Hanifin, the year before that it was Barbashev. If Vegas can add the way, you can do it too. So the only thing you have to do is get under the cap, and all you got to do to get under the cap is get rid of Cody Glass. So take that third, as I said last hour, take that third round pick that you got by dealing out of the second round on Saturday, and you got two third round picks, one next year, and use that third round pick that belongs to Minnesota, give it to John Hines, give him Cody Glass. And if John Hines unlocks Cody Glass into the superstar that Hal Gill said he would be, then we'll be upset, but I don't think we'll have to worry about that. 615-737-1025, plus the YouTube chat, where we'll hit some of your thoughts on that. We'll continue along. Plus, I'm not here to farm anybody else's land, but I'm having a really hard time understanding what one team is doing, and I almost feel like the Predators are taking advantage of them. We'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 615-737-1025. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, Electrical. You know I love Hiller. And you know Hiller. They are proud supporters of the Predators, and their friends at Hiller are celebrating 34 years in business. Happy birthday to Hiller. They're bringing the celebration to you with a birthday bash this month. From now until July 31st, enjoy a free smart thermostat with select new HVAC systems, free water tests, free leak detection and shutoff valves with tankless water heaters, and buy 10, get 2 free landscape lights. Celebrate Hiller's birthday bash today by visiting happyhiller.com for the details. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Happy birthday, Hiller. Proud supporters of the Preds, the Vols, and Vandy Hiller. Call the Happy Face Truck today.
I understand that him signing, Steven signing with the Nashville Predators today is going to overshadow any of the changes that have taken place within our organization in the last few weeks, in the last few days. But as I look ahead, I really like and am excited by what I see as taking shape for our organization going forward. Today, we signed Jake Guentzel, a 29-year-old star player in his prime, arguably the most coveted free agent on the unrestricted free agent market this summer. A few weeks ago, we brought back Ryan McDonagh, who is still one of the best defensive defensemen and leaders in the NHL and who's under contract for 2 years. Over the weekend, we acquired J.J. Moser, who just turned 24 this month, already a top four defenseman in the NHL, and I don't think he's even entered his prime. We acquired Connor Geeky, a 20-year-old entering the professional ranks this season. He's got 3 years of entry-level contract. He's got size. He plays a premium position. He's without a doubt the highest profile we've had in terms of highest profile prospect we've had for a number of years here. So when I look at the end result of all that, I believe that we are a better defensive team and a deeper team, and that makes us a better team in the short term.
That was Julien Brisebois, the general manager of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And I'm not here to farm Tampa Bay's land. This is not Tampa Bay radio. But I don't have a freaking clue as to what that guy's doing. And when I hear that press conference right there, because I listened this morning to the Tampa Bay press conference about the Stamkos stuff, but when I listen to that and I hear, you know, we went out and we signed Jake Guentzel, who arguably was the top free agent on the market that people were interested in. I'm like, boy, I tell you, this guy sounds defensive. I mean, we brought in Ryan McDonagh. He's one of the best. We're talking about Jake Guentzel's in his prime. We're getting younger, and we brought back Ryan McDonagh. That isn't he an old P-pop? Like, isn't that, you know, kind of the... Now, look, I like McDonagh. I'm not dogging McDonagh. But I'm also not sitting here saying that, oh, God, we can't bring back Steven Stamkos because of his age. And then he's telling me about some prospect? Since when do they care about prospects in Tampa? If you're a team that is good enough to compete for the Cup, you do not care about prospects. The Edmonton Oilers are not worried about prospects. You know who cares about prospects? San Jose. Because they suck. But when you're good, you're not talking about prospects. But this guy's up there doing it because his fan base is looking at him saying, what the hell is the matter with you? And I got to say this. There are dumb teams in sports, and you know it. And our biggest fear for the Titans right now, I hate to say it, is that they're one of the dumb teams in the NFL. I'm not saying they are, but I'm saying that's a fear that I think we all have. I'm starting to wonder if Barry Trotz is taking advantage of stupidity in Tampa Bay. Because while Julien Brisebois is the general manager of a two-time cup winner, he also wasn't the guy that built that team. Steve Yzerman built those teams. So when Yzerman builds it, and then you win and get the credit for it, what that does is we saw this with Jerry Krause and the Chicago Bulls. Remember? All Jerry wanted to do was move on from Phil Jackson and Michael Jordan. I think Jerry was licking his chops at the idea of moving on from Jordan. And again, I blame Jerry Reinsdorf for the kind of the ending of the Bulls. But I think Jerry Krause, you know, wanted to show, hey, I'm the one that made the trade for Pippen. I'm the one that drafted Horace Grant. I'm the one. And I think Jerry Reinsdorf wanted some credit. And the only way you get credit is by winning without Michael Jordan, winning without Phil Jackson. It's like, you know, Tom Brady. How do you get the credit? You go to Tampa Bay and you win a championship. And so I look at Brisebois, and I see him hyping up Jake Guentzel because, I mean, I'm just thinking from a hockey standpoint. Mikhail Sergachev, who I think is a great defenseman. If I knew that Tampa Bay, because you paid Brady Shea, I think, $7 million. Sergachev makes $8.5 million. But if I knew that Tampa Bay was trying to get rid of Sergachev when they made the trade, I would have said just trade him for McDonagh. I'll take Sergachev. But the fact that he let go of Sergachev and Stamkos to replace him with Gensel and McDonough. And as somebody with the Predators pointed out to me, Predators also got a second in that trade with McDonough. I don't know what that guy's doing. I'm not sure I'm so sold on that. And he can sit there and say that the big free agent signing, you know, that, hey, we signed Jake Gensel, arguably the top free agent on the market. I know this. The bottom of the screen on NHL Network ain't talking about Jake Gensel, but it is talking about Steven Stamkos. I have no idea what they're thinking. Gensel for 7 years? I'm not even a Gensel fan. Gensel scores a bunch of goals, and granted, he did do well when he went to Carolina, which was a sign that he can do it without Crosby, but Gensel scores 30-something goals a year. Stamkos scores 40. I don't think it's that much of an upgrade. And they gave him 7 years, whereas Stamkos took 4 for the Predators. If it's as obvious as it sounds, and Stamkos wanted to go back to Tampa Bay, my guess is Stamkos probably would have taken a 3-year deal to stay in Tampa Bay as opposed to the 4-year deal he got with the Predators. Well, I'd rather have, over the next 3 years, I'd rather have Stamkos for 3 than have Gensel for 7. So I don't know what that guy's doing, and I know we don't care if, you know, this guy is the cause of the fall of the Tampa Bay Lightning dynasty. But I do think it would not surprise me if we look back on this and we say, yeah, Barry Trotz found somebody he could pick on, and he did. And he took advantage of him. Because, again, they traded for Ryan McDonagh back, took on the full salary, gave you a second, and because they did that, didn't sign Steven Stamkos, because they did that, they had to trade Mikhail Sergachev. That doesn't seem very smart. And you end up with Stamkos. Somebody says, Jared, what do you think of the Trouba situation? So I stopped paying attention to Jacob Trouba when the Predators signed Brady Shea. Ian, what's going on with Jacob Trouba?
Well, sounds like they've been trying to move him. The Rangers have been trying to move him, but he has been exercising pretty strongly his no trade list. I read something that his wife, I believe it's his wife or girlfriend, his significant other, is doing like a medical residency in New York City. And she's not done with that. So
good for her, by the way.
Yeah, so it's making things a little bit difficult.
I mean, hate to say it, but don't give out no move clauses if you want to move players. I mean, it's as simple as that. I had somebody tell me that, yeah, you know, this one player's got a no move, but the no move was kind of more just in writing than it was, you know, we had an agreement. I'm like, I don't know about that. Like, because GMs change, owners change, coaches change, like, I hate to say it. See, I think the guy who runs the Rangers is an idiot, the general manager they have there. Now, I think Peter is a great coach, but I think the guy they have running the Rangers is a moron, and all I needed to know is when he was interviewing John Hines and considering hiring John Hines because they were college buddies over Laviolette, and I'm like, this guy's a moron. If you're even considering that, you're an idiot. So don't give out no move clauses if you want to eventually move the players. And, like, Jacob Trouba was good when he was with the Winnipeg Jets, and they were playing the Predators, but he wasn't that good. Why is he getting no? Why is Jacob Trouba an $8 million defenseman, an $8 million defenseman with a no move? Not that good. So if you're going to give out no move clauses, give them to good players. I look at some of these teams, especially the cap teams, and it's like on cap friendly, it's just all NMC, 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 NTC, NTC, MNTC. Like it's like, oh God. It's like, yeah, good luck to you. 615-737-1025. More of your phones, more of your thoughts. 615-737-1025. Plus, coming up next, what's going to happen with Yaroslav Askarov? Barry Trotz talked about it yesterday. I think he might be telling the truth, considering that, well, he does tell the truth quite often. We'll get to that coming up next here on the program, and we're right back to your phones as well. Hey, tune in to 94.9 The Fan as the Sounds take on Memphis today. Pregame 6:50, first pitch 7:05. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, Caudill Vet Clinic, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.